I don't know if you remember that song, and I don't know if you guys have had bad days. I'm sure we all have. I want to tell you real quickly about a day recently for me. Those of you who didn't know, I was the student minister. I was director of student ministries here for the last 17 years. And I've had the privilege now of being the director of Gather Here for a couple months, and it's been great. But let me just tell you this. I remember specifically, we'd had our event called D-Town, and D-Town is an event where we have about 2,000 leaders and students in the main auditorium there, and it's a full weekend, and it wears you out, okay? And so we were tired, and we decided to have this celebration lunch the next Tuesday, and so we took a day off, and then that Tuesday, we're still kind of in recovery mode, and we had this big lunch. We went to one of those kind of farm-to-table places that have all the great appetizers you could ever imagine. And so all of a sudden, on the table, there's all these appetizers, and I'm just going, man, I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of this, and I was just eating it up. And I can remember at about halfway through some of those appetizers, I was like, oh, yeah, I ordered something else. You ever been in that place? You know, it's like breadsticks and salad at Olive Garden. You don't get to them. Anyway, but I was so full, and I was like, man, I don't really have any room for the next dish here. So I kind of finished my plate there, and we went back to the church, and as I'm heading back, I start feeling really sick. And the great part was I was on 75 heading south, and I'm like, oh, gosh. And so all of a sudden, I'm pulling over, I get an exit out, and I head into this apartment complex and share some of my meal with them in the parking lot. And it would have been not a real pretty sight. But I remember just feeling terrible. And so what I did, of course, is that night my son had a basketball game, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to his game, but I got to see if I can feel a little better. And so I called my wife, and I said, Ange, I said, I just threw up. I'm coming home. I'm going to try to relax for a little while, maybe feel a little better. And could you run this errand that I was going to do for tonight's game to get these programs? And she's like, okay, I'll do it. So I get home, and I'm, you know, like I thought I'd come in, and she'd go, hey, you come here and lie down, and are you okay? Well, she's in the restroom. She's doing her hair in there, and she's crying. And I was like, I go, what's wrong? And she goes, well, I just got back from the doctor. I have a double ear infection, and I feel terrible. And so I was like, I said, okay, it's time to man up. And so I got my Tupperware bowl, like a man would, and I put it in the passenger seat, and I said, I hope I don't get sick again, but I'm going to go down and get these programs. And so I drive down, get these programs, and I'm coming back. And on the way down to get the programs, I get a call from my son Cooper, and he said, Dad, my truck just died. It's in a parking lot. It won't start. And I was like, and you know, I was thankful I wasn't throwing up at that point. I said, Coop, I said, hey, we'll deal with that later. I said, just leave it there if you can get a ride back to school. So he goes back. So now I'm sick, my wife's sick, my son is, his car's broken down. And then I get to the game, and I'm kind of make it through the basketball game, and I walk out after this basketball game. We get the W, which that was exciting. And then we come out of the game, and it's just pouring down, storming rain. And so Cooper goes, Dad, are we going to go? I go, we'll get it tomorrow, Coop. We just got to go home. So we go home, and when I get home, I am exhausted. So I hit the pillow about 10:30, and I'm just out. And about midnight, I hear this womp, 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 womp in my front yard. And now my other son's 2002 Highlander, really nice, was in the front yard, and the alarm is waking up the whole neighborhood, okay? It's still pouring rain. And so I kind of stumble out of bed. You know, you're in that deep REM sleep. And so I'm stumbling out there, and I'm going, what's going on? And my middle son is in the hallway, and he's got the key fob, and he's just going. And that wasn't doing anything. And so being the smart guy that I am, I took that key fob. Just give me that. And I went, and I did the same thing. And so finally, it stopped. The alarm went off, and I thought, okay. What a good dad does. He gets up, picks the alarm. So I'm heading back. I mean, literally, I'm walking back to my room. Womp, womp, womp. It's going off again. So then I said, okay, I've got to go out and assess the situation. And anybody that knows me, I'm the worst handyman. I have no kind of skill like that at all, especially around cars. I'm like, that's a car. It sure is. And so I went out, and I remember it's stormy, it's cold. I put on my my stocking cap and I put on my man Uggs because I'm a man. And I went out there and I'm going out. This is a slipper thing. Anyway, so I'm going out to the car and I get out to the car and it's going off again. And so I hit the key fob again. I go in and I just start doing stuff like turn off the radio, turn it back on, mess with the steering wheel. I have no idea what I'm doing. And there's this one red thing that's flashing, so I just hit that a few times, like, is that going to help? So I go, okay, I got it. I'll just unlock it, and if the alarm's not set, no problem. So leave it unlocked. I kind of, you know, it's almost like I'm tiptoeing out of the car, like, you know, don't get mad, don't go off again. And so I go inside, and it stops. And it did three or four times, and then it stopped, and I thought, well, you know, I just, some of my handiwork there. And so I came back, and I go back to bed, and now it's about midnight, 12:30. It's about 12:30, and I get sleep. And about an hour later, wah wah wah! It's going. I go. The alarm's not even set. Okay. And by this time, I am so angry. Okay. I am, you know, eyes twitching, and I was probably drooling. I just remember coming back in, going, "What in the heck?" So I get the darn, and I go, and now I'm YouTubing 2002 Highlander alarm systems. How do you get those to shut off? You know, and I can't understand what the guy's saying. He's saying stuff like steering wheel and stuff. I don't know. And I just remember I was like, oh, we're in trouble. So at this one point, I just needed to release all that anger. And so I remember taking my stocking cap off, and I took it like this, and I threw it against the dresser, and it just went. And it didn't make me feel better, okay? Stocking cap. You need like a war ball or a gritty watermelon or something to smash. I didn't have anything. So I just kind of threw this. And so I'm just beside myself mad. So eventually, with some of you guys, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you just pull it in and disconnect the battery? That's what I ended up doing, okay? So I had a bad battery in that. My son's truck was up. My wife's sick. I'm sick. It was a bad day. And what I want to talk about tonight is some of us are in the middle of bad days or bad weeks, or maybe tough seasons, tough circumstances. And the reason I want to talk to you about it tonight is because I think tough circumstances that are even tougher than the ones I'm talking about, those were just in that day, but the circumstances you're in, I think it's an opportunity for God to show up. And I think it's an opportunity for him to show himself in the midst of your tough circumstances. And so I want to look at the scripture tonight. And here's what I know, that in this room, there's many of us that have had, we're in the middle of tough circumstances. I know stories in this room right now where there's broken relationships. Okay, I know stories in this room that where people are struggling with singleness. That's not the story that you would have written for yourself. It's just hard. I know there's illness, there's sickness, there's things going on with people in this room. Maybe that's you, and you're going, man, it's been a tough year. And so I want to address, I think we all have tough circumstances. The Bible says in this world, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. And so we're going to look today at a passage in Acts that I think will encourage you, because what I watched is I watched what Paul does in the middle of a really bad day. And I think we can take three observations from that. But first, let me set it up. Paul was in the middle of a bad day. He was with Silas and they were out ministering, and he was, this little girl was coming along and she was prophesying about what was going on with Paul and Silas. And these men were using her. This is in Acts 16. These men were using her to make money. And so they were in the middle of this time. And Paul, I love what it says Paul got annoyed. If he'd had the stocking cap, he got annoyed. And what he does the right thing. He casts this evil spirit out of this girl. And the guys who were making money off her got really frustrated with Paul. And they reported him to the authorities. And all of a sudden, Paul, for doing the right thing, was thrown. He was first beaten with rods. Then he was thrown into jail. And he was put in stocks. That's a bad day. That's a tough day. Here's a guy doing the right thing, honoring God, out ministering, doing the Lord's work. And all of a sudden, he's wrongfully accused, takes a beating, and he's in prison. And after that day, I think what Paul wanted to do or what I would have done, I'd have been so frustrated with God, if I'm just honest. Maybe that's where you are tonight. That's the way you feel. But I want you to watch what happens with Paul. We're going to read this passage together. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 31. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Remember what just happened? They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And so I think there's some great things we can pull from this passage that should encourage us in the middle of our bad day, in the middle of our bad week, the tough circumstances that you're in. I think the Lord is going to hopefully encourage you. If Paul was here tonight, I think this is the way he would encourage us. And the first thing I think Paul would say to us is he would say to turn to God rather than from God. And you guys go, "Oh, Bron, that's brilliant. I don't know how you came up with that." But the reality is, what I love about what happened with Paul here is that's what he does. Instead of turning away from God, and I'm wondering about you right now, in the middle of your circumstance, I bet you're tempted to turn to other things and turn away from God. And he's going, "No, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest." That's what he wants to give you. And so what I love about Paul's response, instead of sitting there going, "Lord, did you not see what we're doing out there?" He wouldn't do that. He's singing and praying to God. There's just this relationship with Jesus and with God. And it's amazing. And so when I see that, when I take note of that in the scripture, that his response was so not normal. The normal response was to be able to go, "Golly, Lord, do you not see us down here? Are you with us?" He's just going, "Lord, I trust you. I'm praying and I'm singing." And you know what I love what it says here? It says, "And prisoners were listening." I wish you could have been with us at staff prayer yesterday. You guys may not know this, but at staff prayer, prayer is part of that staff meeting, but a lot of times we just share what God's doing in our midst. And this happened to be yesterday that we were talking about how has God used suffering, how has he used suffering in people's lives, and how has he redeemed it? And just on our staff, and there's a lady that many of you may know named Ann, who's on our staff, and she told her story. She started right out. She just said, "Hey, what God did in my life about 7 or 8 years ago was significant. It was really hard, but the way he worked has been amazing, but it's been hard." And she said, "Let me just tell you the story." She said, "About 7 or 8 years ago, I'm in the summer. My husband and I are married. We got two kids, two boys. We're having a great summer. And then one day, I just didn't feel very well." And she said, "So I just called the doctor, set up an appointment, went in thinking, well, I'm just going to have a routine or give me an antibiotic or something. We'll move on." And she goes in and she's diagnosed with kidney cancer. And when she went in, the doctor said, "Hey, we're going to have to figure out how to way to treat this." And they end up removing a kidney, and she was cancer-free. And she was thanking the Lord at the end of that summer. She's like, "Lord, man, thank you for taking me through this, for bringing me through, being with me, praising God for the way he had shown up, the way he was her comfort." And not soon after, her and her husband were, their AC went out one night, and they said, "Hey, let's just sleep in different rooms. It's really warm. So he goes into another room. And she comes out the next morning, and he dies in his sleep. And she lost her husband. And I remember Ann saying to us, she said, she goes, "Man, I was looking around at my friends who didn't know the Lord, and I was like, looks like they're having a really good time. And I'm tempted to go run there and try to escape to that because I'm hurting right now." But she said, "I'm so thankful that because of my relationship with Jesus," she said, "I turned to God rather than from God." And when she did, she said, hey, the friends that knew Christ came around and comforted her, and God used them in her life. The body of Christ, so to speak, came around. And she said in Psalm 18 was the verses that I just meditated on, and it was life-giving to me because I didn't turn from him. I turned to him. And so my first encouragement to you, and I think if Paul was here tonight, he'd tell you right now, some of you are tempted to turn away from God in the middle of your circumstance, and he's going, turn to me. It's good here. I think what I've realized in my life is that I'm tempted to, even with good things, that I think if I do, if I could almost, it's almost like an escape. If I'm on social media and I see my friends are out, you know, they're in Hawaii enjoying a vacation, I go, man, if I had that vacation, then this circumstance, I feel like everything would be good. But vacations come and go. Even friendships. I can put stock in friendships where I don't turn to the Lord in times when I'm hurting, and I turn to friendships and I put all my my kind of eggs in that basket. And then the Lord goes, even that will not be enough. Because, Bron, what you're trying to do is you're trying to fill a place that only I can fill. Is that you tonight? Is that where you might be? Are you trying to fill with temporary things, temporary fixes? And God's going, hey, if you drink of me, what did Jesus say? You'll never thirst again. But some of us are trying to drink from everything else, maybe to numb the pain. And so what I want to encourage you with tonight is turn to God rather than from him. Here's why. In the second part of verse 25, it says, and prisoners were listening. You know why Paul could sing and pray in the middle of a jail cell and in shackles? Because his circumstances didn't really matter, because he had already been set free by Jesus. There was no jail that was going to hold him back. He had a relationship with the one who sets us free. And so that's why he could respond that way. And so, and I think around you and around me, there are people who are looking at us going, why do you sing at a funeral? Why would Anne sing at her husband's funeral? Because she knows her husband knew the Lord and he's with them. And it's a crazy thing that we can do as believers, because we can actually find joy in this relationship with the Lord even when our circumstances are hard. And I think the world is listening and going, really? How is your life different than mine? Well, because you find joy and you trust the Lord even in the middle of the storm. Okay, so the first thing I want you to remember, Paul would tell us, he would say, turn to God rather than from God. The second thing that we see with Paul here is he was concerned about others rather than consumed with himself. You know, when times are tough, don't we get inwardly focused? I mean, when it gets hard, we just go, man, all we can think about is ourselves. And I think one of the things that Paul does here that's so amazing is he starts thinking about other people. Listen to what happened in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. You know what's so amazing about that? What would you have done when the doors flew open and the chains came off? I am bolting. Okay, now, bolting for me is a little slower than it used to be, but I'm running as fast as I can out of there. I'm not thinking about others because I'm consumed with me. And what I love about Paul here is I think because he was a guy who turned to God and he's praying and singing and he's abiding in the Spirit there, and all of a sudden, this jailer's about to kill himself, and Paul has the eyes to see somebody else in the middle of a really tough circumstance. And he responds. And what does he say? Don't harm yourself. This is the guy that was holding him captive. Have you ever been around people who you just love, the way you're just so inspired by the way they care for others? I was at a camp this summer called Camp Barnabas. We take high school kids there in the summertime, and it's a camp for kids with special needs. And there was a young man named Connor. I'm going to show you a picture of Connor here. But Connor and I got to know each other this summer, And Connor was 21 years old, but Connor was in a wheelchair where his body was contorted all the time. And he just looked uncomfortable all the time. His legs were deformed. And Connor was a guy that we had to help bathe, and we had to help him go to the restroom, and we had to brush his teeth. He couldn't do any of that. And Connor had this incredible joy about him. In the middle of 21 years of bad days. And I sat there and watched him, and I marveled at his joy. And he would, I remember saying to him, Connor, I'm so sorry you got us, man. You got me and these, and we're trying to dress you, and I'm putting his, you know, armhole over his head, and he's laughing. He's like, you don't even know how to put a shirt on, and it was rough. And so I just remember just looking at him, and he'd laugh. And then here's what really amazed me about Connor, is that in the middle of his tough circumstances, Connor was about me. He didn't want to burden me. I remember him saying things like, I'm fine, you know, it's okay. You know, when I would go, oh, I'm so sorry, and he'd go, no, it's fine, it's fine. And I just could tell Connor didn't want to be a burden to me. He was about others. And so my question for you tonight to think about, I really want you to think about this and ask the Lord, Lord, would you, even in the midst of my tough circumstance, and maybe you're not in the middle of one, but one's coming, will the Lord allow you to slow down enough to see others? Can you lift your head up and see the jailer that's around you? Somebody that at work that doesn't know him, that needs to see something different. You know, they go, well, I don't know if Christians are any different. I don't see a joy about you, even and with tough circumstances, you kind of handle like everybody else. But the incredible thing with Paul here was he, right in the middle of this really bad day, he was all about this jailer. And he showed an incredible picture of love to him. So you see that Paul would encourage, he'd say, be concerned about others instead of consumed with yourself. And then the third thing that I want you to take note of is in verses 31 and 32. It says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know why that jailer said that? Because he saw the way Paul loved him. And he saw the way that Paul was about him in the midst when Paul could have just bolted. Instead, he goes, what must I do to be saved? Something's different about you. You would love me. I'm the guy that's holding you hostage. So it was an incredible act of love. And then it says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Then 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so the third thing that I want you to take note of is that Paul, in the middle, he stayed on mission rather than be distracted. And I will tell you, when we're in the middle of tough circumstances, it's so hard for us to think about eternal stuff. But what we have for people is the hope of Christ. And I was thinking about this, that we get a chance to be in the game. I played college basketball at a little school, and I kind of played my first 2 years, and then the third and fourth year of my time there, I tell people I sat the bench, I had great seats and all the water I could drink. That's pretty much what I had, okay? So I watched a lot of basketball that year. But we won 2 national championships in NAI Park, small college. So I'm sitting there, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be great to be in the game, but I'm over here kind of in timeout. And what I would tell you is I think the Lord is calling you, no matter what the circumstance, he's calling you into the game. He's saying, don't take a time out. Be on mission every day. Don't take a time out. Because here's the deal. I want to empower you. I want to work in and through you. The scripture says that we are his ambassadors as though he's making his appeal through us. And so tomorrow at your work or at your place and your friendships and your relationships, you have a chance to be on mission. And that's what was happening with Paul here. And what I love about it is he could see eternal things. And I think it started again with praying and singing to God. Then he starts acting on it and he starts serving others. And then the Lord opens up, oh, guess what? This jailer he's not free himself because he doesn't know Jesus. And he's not been set free. And Paul, I want to use you to share the gospel with this guy. And guess what? He's going to be changed and his family are going to come to Christ because of the way you responded in a not normal way in the midst of really tough circumstances. A couple years ago, I was watching the news, and it was the nightly news, and I rarely get a chance to do that, but I was watching and I saw a story of a man who had a really tough circumstance that came up in his life. And I want you to watch the way he responded in the middle of this tough circumstance. Watch this.
We end this week with a lesson in forgiveness from Steve Hartman on the road.
It all went down on this block in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Back in 05, Jamel McGee says he was minding his own business when a police officer accused him of and arrested him for dealing drugs.
You saying the officer made it up?
Yeah, it was all made up.
Of course, a lot of accused men make that claim, but not many arresting officers agree.
So you phonied the report?
I did. I falsified the report.
This is former Benton Harbor police officer Andrew Collins.
Were you just trying to chalk up an arrest?
Yeah, basically, the start of that day, I was going to make sure I had another drug arrest.
And in the end, you put an innocent guy in jail.
Correct. Yeah.
You lost everything.
I lost everything. My only goal was to seek him when I got home and to hurt him.
Really?
That was my goal.
Eventually, that crooked cop was caught, served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing.
Of course, Jamel was exonerated, but he still spent 4 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Today, both men are back here in Benton Harbor, which is a small town. Maybe a little too small.
Hey guys, thank you.
Last year, by sheer coincidence, they both ended up at Mosaic, a faith-based employment agency where they now work side by side in the same cafe.
Oh, excuse me.
And it was in these cramped quarters that the bad cop and the wrongfully accused had no choice but to have it out.
And I said, honestly, I have no explanation. All I can do is say I'm sorry.
And Jamel says that was all it took.
That was pretty much what I needed to hear.
Today, they're not only cordial.
Saturday, we went to the trampoline park.
They're friends.
We talk about life.
Such close friends. Not long ago, Jamel actually told Andrew he loved him.
And I just started weeping because he doesn't owe me that. I don't deserve that, you know?
Did you forgive for his sake or for yours?
No, for our sake. Not just us, for our sake.
Jamel went on to tell me about his Christian faith and his hope for a kinder mankind. He wants to be an example. So now he and Andrew give speeches together about the importance of forgiveness and redemption.
I'll grab this one, set it over there.
And clearly, if these two guys from the coffee shop can set aside their bitter grounds, what's our excuse? Steve Hartman, on the road, in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
And that's the...
Man, every time I watch that, I tear up. Every time. Here's what I want to encourage you with, is to respond like that isn't that hard. It's impossible. It's impossible without Jesus. You cannot forgive like that man forgave without the Lord. And you saw how the reporter said, he told me about his Christian faith and he kind of moved on. It was all about his Christian faith. And it wasn't coincidence that they ended up at the same place working. We know that, don't we? God is at work. And I want to tell you this. I see that in you guys. I see many of you, even coming tonight, some of you had a long day. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to go and worship and hang out with people. I just would rather go home and watch, DVR of This Is Us or whatever. You have that, so you're like, too close to home. I see it. I think what I've seen in you already is I see people who are coming and going, hey, I want to engage. I see it in our leaders. I see it in some of you, the way you're loving each other, the way you're engaging with each other. I see guys praying with each other. I think you're on mission. And if you're not, I want to tell you to get in the game. that God's calling you to get in the game, even in the midst of some hard circumstances. God is wants to use, he wants to work in and through you. And there's no better game to be part of than being on a mission for his kingdom. And so I think what I want you to hear as we close up tonight is that the reason Paul could respond the way he did is because of what he says in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, in times of plenty or in times of want. He goes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And what I tell you is Paul had already had this deep abiding relationship with Jesus. He was sold out. And so when the circumstances hit him, they didn't hit him like the things that were would be big to others didn't really affect him much, because he goes, hey, to live is Christ and die is gain. Paul said in Philippians 3, I consider all things rubbish or junk in comparison to knowing Christ. And you putting me in this jail doesn't keep me from knowing him. And your circumstances, as hard as they are, and I'm not trying to make light of them, I'm just saying that the Lord is looking for those who will turn to him, be about others, and be on mission. And here's what I would tell you. There's people around you all week long who are prisoners. They're wrapped up in their own sin. They haven't heard the good news of the one that can free them and the life they can have in Christ. And will you be that man or woman even in the midst of hard days? And will you be that man or woman in the midst of good days? Because he is good and people are listening. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the example of Paul. Lord, I pray that we would follow his example in the way he sought to know you, the way he considered all things junk in comparison to knowing you. May that be more true of us. May you round up, will you gather up a group of people here who love you, and that would be contagious. When others come and hang with us, they just see the love of Christ in us. They see you. And would you work in and through people at their workplaces and friendships and family? And maybe there's people that in this room that need to forgive somebody, just like this man did in the video that showed us this incredible picture of love. And Lord, here's what we recognize. We can't do it without you. We are hopeless and powerless without you. We need you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are in need of God. So would you work in our hearts, even in the midst of good days or bad days? Because prisoners are around us, and they need to know the one who sets men free. Would you now convict us where we need to be convicted? Would you encourage us where we need to be encouraged as we sing this song to you to wrap up tonight? In Jesus' name.